Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition, the Breakfast with Matt LaFleur edition. I know Domofsky and those guys got their eggs and their eggs Benedict and their bacon and their fruits. At least that's what I like to get. After they got done talking to Matt LaFleur for 34 minutes this morning, edition. We're going to have to talk about Rasheed Walker. He is the living epitome of Tausch's belief about first-round picks versus seventh-round picks edition and the importance of competition edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, sometimes, Facebook, not sure what that's
rarely
doing right now. And YouTube.
Big on YouTube.
Yeah. And everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. And for his second consecutive day, Domi Amagato, Mark Tauscher. He is back. We're thrilled to have him. We've got great cousin subs, but there's just something different about this show when the star shines brightest on it. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Good. What does that look for, Nelson? Like, what does that look for?
This seemed embellished.
It's not hyperbole. He's the star of the show. It shines brighter.
Just, it was a dramatic. It was a dramatic introduction, is all.
Can I not be happy that my partner
is back?
Yeah,
I don't understand Jesse. And then Jesse totally butchers SportsCenter. He's bumbling all over himself. Nobody's going to say anything about that until you get all snooty about this. So, blah, 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 blah. Like,
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Blah, blah,
Charlie
blah,
Brown's
blah,
teacher.
Blah.
The Bucks are playing here.
I may have forgot Michael Lorenzen's name, who is the starting pitcher for the Royals tonight. It kind of threw off.
Yeah, and your prize pick sucked yesterday.
It did. Well, the Brewers sucked yesterday, too.
But your prize pick sucked, too. So, and you know what? I was in a good mood yesterday. Why? The NFL, man. What are we doing?
Oh, short-lived.
The NFL, man.
What are we doing?
What do they do?
I'm intrigued to hear what the Tush Push ruling is going to be. Mm-hmm. I would bet that I think it's going to be a close call, which 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't know if I would have said that because, the Packers are weak to do this. Nobody else wants it. And it turns out a lot of teams don't like this Tush Push.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of regular season overtime needing to be extended.
It's not extended.
It is extended.
No, it's 10 minutes.
It's freaking dumb.
It's still 10 minutes. It's
Jason.
Tausch. Mark.
You score a touchdown, now the game's not over. The Packers go score a touchdown against Minnesota. Minnesota gets their ball. Oh, their precious little ball, even though their stinking defense couldn't make a stop. And we're doing this in the regular season now, too. Nobody was clamoring for this. Nobody
it
was clamoring for this.
To nothing.
So stupid. Dumb.
You are an
get
overtime
out of here with player.
Hater.
I don't want to hear anything about player safety talk and all this. It's so dumb. The NFL overtime rules, I admit, I was a little bit stubborn with my field goal, you know, in the early 2010 era. I was stubborn on it.
Clip
I
that.
Switched. I came around and I said, all right, I understand. Guys are kicking 55-yard field goals. I get it. This nobody was asking for, guys. If you are in a regular season overtime game, postseason's different. I actually didn't mind that they changed the postseason rule, that both teams got the ball. You go down to kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball and go kick a field goal too. Okay? What is going to change here is everybody now is going to take the ball second. Nobody is going to take the ball in overtime. Packers win the toss. They're going to defer in overtime. Vikings can go down because, just like we saw in the Super Bowl with the Niners, you're going to end up getting four downs. It's maddening to me that people think this needed to be changed. I didn't even hear anything about it until Schefter. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. I legit thought, oh, it's April Fool's. They must be joshing me.
Joshing you. They were joshing you.
No, they're not joshing you. And it passed because there's the belief that you did not hold for a long time that it's kind of like going to extra innings and one team gets the bat and the other team doesn't. So, again, I understand that you believe that this is unnecessary, but the fact that all the coaches were in favor of this would indicate that they are hypocrites on the front of player safety, because they're using player safety a lot. I've heard that phrase a lot with the tush push, but not with playing more football than they were previously. I have a question, though, a point of order question. If you
are you and Jesse both on board with this, that this needed to change?
Yeah, this doesn't bother me.
Was this wrong?
Regular season games matter. They're the difference between, say, getting a first round bye or not.
Don't give up a touchdown to start the overtime.
If you lose the point.
I don't understand this.
You're still stuck on
just
your position,
just don't give up a touchdown.
Doesn't have to play defense then. They should have to play defense too.
Defense is part of the game too.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care which way they choose to go with it. I just want it to be the same in the regular season in the playoffs.
Very fair point. That's part of the problem.
I hate when baseball does this too. Extra innings in the regular season is played one way, and then you get to the playoffs and suddenly innings is played differently.
Hey, Jesse.
Play the game the same no matter when you're playing.
You go home in the playoffs. You want to have to go home if you lose in the regular season then too? It is different. I hate to tell you this. It's different.
The stakes are different. The rules of the game are very controllable and can be played the same whether you're in April or October or September or February.
Okay, well then you can't have a tie in the regular season. Done.
Great.
You're going to change your rule? No ties.
As far as I know, nobody wants a tie. It happens once every like 5 years.
Kissing
cousins. And everyone's like, hey, look, a tie. That's fun. Like, sure, get rid of the tie. Sign me up.
I just don't get where this came from. I don't get it.
All right, I have a question while we're relitigating this. So the overtime is 10 minutes, right? Obviously, it's difficult to possess the ball on a 10-minute drive. That's a rare occurrence.
It happens
but
more than you think.
Right. So what would happen if Team Tausch wins the toss, Team Wilde has to start on defense, you choose to take the ball, and then you grind it out, and you use
up
all
fair.
10 minutes and then kick
the
field goal.
The other team gets 10 minutes,
right,
too.
Is that what
you got to get the other team 10 minutes.
That's what I'm asking.
No, they better. They better. You two idiots are just. You guys are just spouting off. They have to give them the same amount of time. You got to give them the same time because that's fair. That's why this is just. It's such a. It just doesn't make any sense.
This is one of your hills. You would acknowledge that overtime is clearly one of your hills.
No, like, I changed. No, I can't even say that, Jason.
You just moved your location on the hill.
I've been swayed on this. But Jesse's sitting there on his soapbox telling me, oh, it's got to be the same. It's got to be even. It's got to do this. You go and do a 9-minute, 58-second drive, and you're going to give the Packers 2 seconds to go get a touchdown? How fair is that? Not real fair. What are you accomplishing by doing what they're doing? What are you accomplishing?
That under normal circumstances, both teams will get the ball with a reasonable amount of time to possess the ball.
That's not what's going
to
happen.
More often than not, that is what it's going to happen.
Jason, it won't be even. And it's not even because the team that takes it first only gets 3 downs to get a first down. The team that gets it second gets 4. So there's nothing even about that. There's nothing even about this. It's dumb. Just please come on board and say, you know what, Tausch, you're right. It doesn't need to change.
Never. They changed it. They changed it for the playoffs. I clip this one small phrase. I agree with Jesse. I think it's preposterous to have different rules for the regular season and the postseason. I don't like it. Does baseball, I don't follow baseball all that closely, and they certainly didn't need to use the
crazy the NBA playoffs. You got to win 4 games to win a series. That's crazy.
Easy.
No, but the overtime rules are the same.
Still have the...
Yeah. In hockey, are they?
Oh,
hockey, they're completely different.
Hockey's different.
Hockey, they're completely different.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Do we still put the runner on second base in extra innings
in the regular season?
Yep. I don't like that either. You don't do it in the playoffs, but you do it in the regular season. I don't care if you got to have your left fielder pitch. That's the way it goes.
One of the things that bothers me about the high school bowling championships, all year you play a best of 9 series.
The example I was going to use.
You get the state 2-game total pin count. Makes no sense. Why wouldn't you play with the same rules all year?
I don't like different rules.
Jason, I just don't understand... This didn't need to change. This didn't need to change.
You would agree, though, that you just don't see the reasoning behind requiring both teams to get the ball. You always want to say, you always argue that defense is part of the game. And then, I mean, we've had this argument. We've been doing this, 9 years now? We've had this argument... Probably at least once a year.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
But my pushback to you is always, if you get the ball and you go down and score, your defense didn't have to play. So how is that equitable if defense is part of the game?
If your defense gets a safety, then you have to give the other team's defense a chance to get a safety, too.
That's now. Right. See,
no one is saying that.
But it's the same thing.
It's the same thing
that you're just saying, and I'm not even being obtuse.
Entirely obtuse.
It's not, though. But again, I just think this is. It goes against everything that football is supposed to be a team sport, and I don't think what this is doing does that. I just don't. I think it turns it into we have to give. We have to give everybody. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be equitable. There's going to be. It's not fair that the team that gets the ball second is going to be able to control that they get 4 downs and not 3. Like, why does nobody look at that?
They still get 4 downs. They just choose not to use the 4th down because they
don't go for it. It's 4th and 6 from the 20. You're going to punt. You're not going to go for it. The other team is. It's just not the same, and you know that. Don't be obtuse. You know that that's how that works. But is it?
Yeah, you could choose to go for it on 4th and 6. You could say, I want to go score a touchdown.
Dan Campbell's
I'm willing to
going
take
for
the
it.
Risk. Also true. I understand this is a pet peeve of yours. I
there were a lot of other things that were discussed this morning during Matt LaFleur's coach's breakfast session.
Where did this even come from? Was there a big clamoring for this? I just don't get where it came from.
Yeah, I think most of the oxygen was sucked up by the tush push conversation, and like the Lions' proposal that if you have a better record than a division winner and you're a wild card, you should still get a higher seed. Yeah, I think those two sucked up the all of the attention. And this kind of snuck under the old Tausch radar. Remember, too, while these were being discussed, that they were going to be on the docket, you were in Japan on the other side of the international dateline. So it might have slipped by
that's
you.
That's fair.
What does not slip by you is a great deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You are always there, whether it says that we're doing it or not. You are always there to make sure everyone knows all the great deals that Gina and the team have going.
Have we seen anything pop on the old telly yet? Have we seen any of the potential?
No, it's April 1st. I had GMA on all morning, hoping it would pop on.
I'm guessing we're going to be seeing some fun things. You know, there's a lot of buzz about Pella's ad this month. There's going to be a lot of buzz about their TV spot. Going to be a lot of buzz surrounding the draft. But you won't find one seeping through Pella's windows and doors. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick, because right now you can take advantage of no interest financing options or free glass upgrades. Free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your unique home through seamless customization. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends April 30th. So place your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. And as always, certain restrictions do apply.
Just out of curiosity, is that how the copy is sent to you? Like, is Gina promoting on the radio and on YouTube the TV commercial? Or did you throw that in yourself?
I added that.
Okay. It is. I haven't seen the finished product. But the reviews have come in, and they're raving, especially you with your ad libs. We'll see when that makes it to television. I hope we can also air it on YouTube.
I'm sure we'll be able to do a full film breakdown.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll find its way. We can
break
it down.
Constant
down
loop.
The fact that Jason set the script back by 25 minutes by not.
Okay, the big ad libber. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So there was a lot of other things going on this morning at the Breakers, the hoity-toity resort in Palm Beach, Florida. We'll get to some of the things that Matt LaFleur had to say at the breakfast with the NFC coaches this morning. There are those rule changes that are being debated. Apparently the tush-push getting a heavy debate. Nick Sirianni has been lobbying for votes in favor of keeping the tush push. Matt LaFleur said he is not so invested in the tush push that he's lobbying for people to vote against keeping it. But he did address a bunch of things. I want to get ready for our visit with Nick Collins, who's one of our favorite people. He's going to be on momentarily. But before that, Tausch, I just want to touch on this. We'll get deeper into it later in the show. But it is official. Matt LaFleur echoing what Brian Gutekunst said yesterday. It's on like Donkey Kong at left tackle. Jordan Morgan versus Rashid Walker. Matt LaFleur flat out said it. They are going to compete for that job. Jordan Morgan didn't even take snaps at left tackle last summer. Missed a large swath of the season with a shoulder injury. But he's a first-round pick. They invested heavily in him. Rashid Walker, like you, seventh-round pick. They think that they can be better there. What do you make of where this is at, and what do you anticipate from our guy Sheed
handling this?
Well, I love the way Sheed handled it last year. I know he was on that tailgate tour, and I don't remember if it was after the draft. I believe it was the tailgate tour. And
it was before the draft, and there was the possibility that they were going to draft an offensive lineman. And then after they drafted the offensive lineman, he had the same exact attitude.
Okay. And I think that's the healthy way to do it, but he's going to have a big hill to climb. They want Jordan Morgan to be the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted him to do that, and I think, Rashid started a little slow, had some penalties last year. And again, I think one of the things that we look at, the Josh Myers component, it's if you're steady, Brian Gutekunst is looking at this, and it's not about just being steady. This is now, he wants elite play at those positions.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashid Walker, I think he's done a really good job, especially for where the Packers have drafted and what they've invested. He's been really good. They want to be able to solidify that spot in a big way with someone that has all of the tangible numbers and things to be basically a shutdown left tackle. I don't know if they feel that way about Sheed. Obviously, they think that Jordan Morgan can usurp that spot and take it over. We'll see, because we all thought last year was going to be a battle, and 2 days into it, it was like, you're good. Sheed's taking it. Jordan's going to be battling Sean Ryan for right guard. Whether or not that happens again, I would venture that it is going to be a big – if I was putting the numbers percentage-wise – who's going to be the left tackle? Jordan Morgan would be a prohibitive favorite going into training camp. And is that right? Is that fair? Hey, maybe the league will change it, and they'll say, you got to get 50-50 reps. Maybe the Packers will say, well, it's not fair to either of these guys. I want both guys to get 50-50 reps, because that's fair. Both people should get the same amount of reps to play left tackle. That's what Jesse and Jason want. And unfortunately for Sheed, that's not the reality of the business of the NFL. That's why I think what they're doing with this is also a sham, but whatever. I'm not going to get into all that again. We've already litigated, and I know people are sick of it. Bottom line is, Sheed is going to have to be better than Jordan Morgan. It's going to have to be – this isn't going to be where they're both kind of boxing at each other, and you put it to the judges. The judges are going to go Jordan Morgan.
You're right.
Sheed needs to be KO. He needs to be KO Walker if he's going to win that job.
Buster. He needs to Michael Spinks him. Buster Douglas him. All right. You really are.
You didn't like that. You didn't like my 50-50 split? I figured you would.
No, I loved it.
Seemed unnecessary.
You are
that's
a beaut.
That's only a fair way to
God,
do it.
Are
that's
you a
what
beaut.
I was told.
That's see, this is what I mean about why it's so great to have you back.
None of our cousin subs so of the day had condescending voices like that they could pull out at any point.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. They also couldn't tell us about how much they love Coors Light, because that, while they love it too, only one person can tell us the way Tausch does.
Yeah, Coors Light is brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Well, make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Super Bowl champion, former Tausch teammates, and all-around great guy, our guy Nick Collins, one of our all-time favorites, a longtime contributor to this program, joins us to tell us about what he's got going on with the NFL draft and more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
The NFL Draft is now underway.
Live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
You and I start guessing. It's a 20 song. We were never.
Jesse, do I give you credit for making this happen?
No.
Okay, good, because I'm really excited about this, and I didn't want it to be because of you. Joining us now, another of my favorite players that I got to cover. And a guy that comes up all the time, and I think we may finally be able to say, God, they haven't had a great safety since Nick Collins retired. I think we may finally be able to retire that phrase. After what? Over a decade of saying it? It is the great Nick Collins on Wildy Touch. Man, every time I see you, there is more gray in that beard. You're making me feel very old.
I feel old, too. How y'all doing, man?
We're good, Nick. How are you? It's great to have you back.
What a great welcome, Nick, right? That Jason can't say hello. He comes right at you with a beard. You know, the gray in the beard.
He came with the beard. You know, we finally got us a nice safety there. You know, all the good things.
But, all right, well,
I'm doing well. I'm doing fine.
Let me start with something good then and make up for my rude introduction of you. And I know we want to talk about what you've got going on with Visit Milwaukee and the tailgate party at Panther mm-hmm. Arena for the draft. We'll get to that in a minute. But as I was thinking about you, you know, obviously I loved covering you. You and I had a great working relationship, and we've stayed in touch since. But I found myself wondering, there are so many photos in Packers history. There's only a handful of them, though, that are iconic, right? Like Jerry Kramer mm-hmm. carrying Vince Lombardi off the field, right? And him looking up at Vince Lombardi. But one right. of them is you in the end zone in Super Bowl 45. Arms outstretched to the heavens after your pick six touchdown. My question is, I see a photo, just a little tiny piece of a photo behind you. Is that that photo, or that looks like Lambeau Field? So that's not
it. That's that Lambeau.
Yeah.
That's to get us in. That picture right there, that's to get us in the playoffs right there.
Okay.
That's over the Chicago Bears, the last game of the season.
So is it somewhere in your, and I know that your wife runs a very tight ship. We've talked about that before. You'd be lost without her, just like Tausch and I are the same way. But is that photo somewhere in the Collins house in a very large shape on like a canvas? Is it somewhere?
No, this actually, I'm in my office at work. You know, I'm coaching at Bethune-Cookman now. I'm the quarterback coach there. So it's in my office.
So you do not, so no, but you don't have the one from the Super Bowl in your home anywhere?
I have that in my man cave. I do.
Okay, good.
I do.
How is coaching going? Before we get into anything else, because I did know that you went back to your alma mater. Yeah, you and Woodson, man, you guys talked like you weren't going to coach. You just were going to live your life, and now you just couldn't help yourselves, could you?
Hey, man, I had to do it, man. I think it's just a blessing to have this opportunity to give back, just to be around young men, teaching them the game, teaching them the right way to play the game. And it's also just, you know, it gave me something to do and be around the game. So I love the game. You know what I mean? I got tired of seeing bad football out there.
Nick, did you talk to Al at all about kind of the journey from, because I would have never guessed, I don't know if you felt the same way, I never would have guessed Al Harris was going to be a coach. Like, that just was not where I thought.
Man, that was crazy. I never saw that coming at all. But once he got into it, man, he's been doing a phenomenal job. Man, he's having mm-hmm. a hell of a career as a coach. And I think he's up there in Chicago now.
Yeah.
He is.
Man.
Do you want to, I know you're focused on the job you have currently, which is you are very proud of your alma mater. I know that. Mm-hmm. Would you, if Al calls tomorrow and says, hey, I need a safeties coach. I need my old podna. Would you be willing to make the jump? Because that, I know you work hard now, but the NFL, man, woo, what do you think?
That'd be tough, man. It's just the Bears, you know what I'm saying? I have to sleep on it. If he do call me, it'll be a blessing. I would consider it, but it'll be tough for me. It'll be tough.
So I remember
look
the first.
Look at Wilde's trying to stir stuff up again.
Yeah, it's
you, you
it's
just get into your new job. You're finding your way, and he's already trying to create controversy, saying, "Oh, Nick Collins is thinking about leaving for the Bears." Like, what? That, Jason hadn't changed much, has he, Nick?
Not at all, man. Jason gonna be Jason all the time.
Oh, great. Now I got both of you ganging up on me.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
So, Nick, one more thing on coaching, because I do want to get to McKinney, yeah. And I really want to get to your event that you've got planned with Jordy Nelson down at the Milwaukee Panthers Arena in Milwaukee for the draft. I am curious, though. You know, I remember when you came on with Tausch and I early on in the show's existence, and you were like the bus right. driver, right? You were taking the kids to school, picking them up, taking to their, and then you were coaching at the high school, right? So,
right.
What has it been like to get into this? And you said giving back, and you joked about bad football, but you're one of the best to ever do it, man. And so I got to think that these kids love having someone who did what you did now helping them become better players. What's it like for you to feel that?
Man, just to receive the love, and sometimes, you know, you still get the bad apple sometimes. Some guys still want to do it their way. Then you got some guys that really dive in and just try to pick your brain, ask the questions that's necessary to be great. But, yeah, man, it's I love what I do, man, just to see these guys flourish and the academics and also on the field. And it's no gratification for me. It's like I'm a proud big dad of all these kids that I was able to coach and, just be a part of their life and be a part of their journey. So, I think what's more gratifying is when they give you that call whenever they're done and they don't move on and they be like, "Coach, man, you was right. You told me this how it was going to be." I think that's more rewarding than anything.
Well, you certainly give them something to strive for, too, because I remember when you were drafted, you know, a lot of us didn't know a lot about you. There was a pick before you that got a lot of attention. It was they picked a quarterback. I can't remember his name.
Don't do 12 like that, man. Don't do 12 like that.
I kid. But you obviously built an incredible career, and we wish it would have lasted longer. But the fact that you're giving back to these guys, I absolutely love it. So speaking of you and connecting with people, you've got this thing with Visit Milwaukee. It's on the Saturday of the draft. You guys are having a tailgate party. Jordy's going to be there. Maybe I'll show up and try and get him to come out of retirement since I'm always being teased that I still want him on the team. But you're doing this at Milwaukee Panther Arena. For folks right. that are interested, they can go to visitmilwaukee.org. The $75 VIP tickets are available now. There's also $10 general admission tickets. It's presented by Pottawatomie Sportsbook. How often do you get back to Wisconsin? Because I'm guessing when people see you, they're excited to catch up with you and see how you're doing.
Man, I'm in and out at least 3 to 4 times a year. Man, it's just amazing when I do go, you know, come back up into Wisconsin. Man, it's just the love and appreciation of the time that I was there. And I just love just to be a part of that. You know, I think you can't take it for granted. You know, we work so hard, Tausch, you know, we work so hard just to, you know, be out there doing something we love. But it goes to the fan because the fans always showing us love and being there for us when it counts the most.
No doubt about it. That's one of the great things about being a Packer and a former Packer is the fans still love to show their appreciation. I think that's one of the cool things. And, Nick, you were one of the best to ever do it. And as Jason mentioned when we were introducing you, it has been a while. Mm-hmm. We've had these discussions for 10, 11, 12 years. Nobody's been able to kind of figure out replacing Nick Collins. And then last year, for whatever reason, the Giants say, we're not going to re-sign Xavier McKinney. And Goody goes and snaps him up. And all of a sudden, we got big-time play back at the safety spot. What did you – I don't know how closely you watch on a game-to-game basis, but what did you see
every game
from Xavier McKinney last year?
Man, I just – I saw a lot of great things, man. I liked the way he go attack the ball. I liked the way he approached the game. And he brought a lot of excitement to the game. Something the Packers been missing on the back end for a while. And that's what it's about. How can he get all the guys around him to play on the same level that he was playing on? I thought he brought that that veteran leadership to the Packers, and that's what they needed. And it was awesome to see that. That's once again back there on the back end.
Yeah, Nick, when Charles came, it seemed like things kind of, you know, swung, and, you know, watching film, and, you know, I always laugh because, you know, Al would come in sweatpants all the time. Next thing you know, he's rocking a suit. You guys are all coming in game days, all dressed up. But changing that tone, and we saw a ball hawk again. You were a ball hawk.
Yeah.
I guess, could you kind of just take us in, and how does that change when you see somebody else doing that? I know you guys used to do, and it wasn't bounties, but you used to have things where interceptions, and, you know, during training camp, and that competitive juice, that carries over to everybody else, and that brings and elevates the rest of your secondary. That's just as important, I would guess, as what, you know, from Xavier doing it himself, right?
Absolutely. I think that's what you need. You need to be competitive at every segment of the game, and practice in the game as well. And I think that what Charles brought to us and showing us a different way. We was able, like you said, we had drop balls, missed interceptions, that we had a little pot that we used to put money in. So whoever get a pick in the game, that's who win the money. So it was just something to, you know, always stay competitive, always having that competitive edge. And I think... And I don't know if they still doing that or what they doing, but I think what Zay did was teaching the young guys, man, you got to get in the film room. You must study. You must know what our opponent's trying to do to us. And I think you break the game down in different segments. On third down, who they go to play on third down. When the game is on the line, who they want to go to. Just the little things that people don't really think about. Throughout the game, and I think this year they did a good job. Bringing McKinney in and to do all those things to help the young guys figure things out.
So because Charles would go into detail. He comes on the show, at least once a year, and he went into some detail. How much of that did that change the way you approach the game? Just in how Charles watched film, because I think we all watch film. And then there's you're really watching it and understanding what you're looking for so that it will carry over to a game. How much of Charles's, I guess, leadership did that matter to your career?
A lot. He helped me a lot. It's all about your pregame checklist. You know, you got to know the down and distance. You got to get the call. You must know the formations. You must know all the adjustments when the offense is shifting and moving around. So you got all this playing through your head at the same time, and you got to get everybody lined up. I think for me, it was just, okay, do I have my brother's back? You know, because, you know, Charles would jump something in the heartbeat, and we had that relationship where he'll say, I'm gone. I know, okay, I got to get over the top. You know, same thing. Uh-huh. If I see a play and I recognize the formation, I look at him, and I'm gonna take it. If he come inside, I'm gone, and he'll replace me. So it's just all about knowing your brother and knowing the defense and how it worked for our success. And I think that what helped us be one of the best defense that ever played the game. I think 1 year we had more interceptions than we had sacks. That's unheard of, you know, and man, it was just beautiful to have all those guys on the back end just on the same page with the same goal, same purpose. Man, we were special back then, man.
Hey, was that verbal? Was that verbal if you decided, hey, Charles, I see this. I recognize the route. I recognize the formation. And was there ever a case where there wasn't the communication and a big play happened and y'all had to go back over to the sideline and explain that maybe you saw something, you jumped it, it didn't work, and a big play went the other way?
Man, I remember when Charles first got here, quick little story. When Charles first got there, we were down in Miami. And we both recognized the formation. We both was like, if he come inside, I'm going. So he was like, I'm the veteran, so I'm going to take it. But I was like, I was the young head, stubborn. Like, nah, this my play. And we both jumped on it. The guy behind us caught the touchdown, and me and him got in a little altercation. But it, with that altercation, that's how we grew closer. The bond was there. And that's when we had that real heart-to-heart sit-down, and the rest was history.
It also helped that you guys won that game 34-24 instead of losing it. Was that the game where Clifton got the bad sushi?
I think that was the bad sushi. Bad sushi in the strip mall. Nick, never have sushi at a strip mall.
It was like 120 degrees down there on the field. It was rough.
Talking with legendary Packers safety Nick Collins on Wilde and Tausch. All right, quick question. I want to talk a little more about the defense, and then a little more about the draft too. But when everyone elevated their fashion game with Charles, why did that not impact the offensive line at all? Because God knows Tausch wasn't dressing up.
That's not very nice. What the heck is going on here today, man?
I would say this. We wanted to try to be professionals, like, so Charles was like, we professionals, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to dress up, you know, let them know we're here for business. I think when big games, I think Charles threw on a little suit. He ain't have no tie on, but he had on a little suit with his little button down.
You don't want to get
halfway.
You got to make sure you're comfortable, open. Too, yeah. No doubt.
So, Nick, since you watch.
Well, hey, Nick. Yeah, we're not going to look good. You know the old look good, feel good, play good? We just wanted to play good. We had all that other stuff. Be comfortable, play good.
Right. I understand.
All right, Nick, a couple things so we can let you get back to coaching. One, you talked about how you watched this defense. So Jeff Hafley, you know, talk about trying to find a replacement for Nick Collins for over a decade. There's been some inconsistency in the systems here too, right? And the defenses have kind of been okay, not great, all over the map. It looks like they finally have a system that really works. What do you see when you watch this team defensively under Jeff Hafley?
I think Hafley doing a good job understanding his players and who he has out there on the field. And I think they believe in him and trust in him, so it allowed them to go out there and just play freely. And that's what you want. You need a coach that's going to believe in the players that he have, and how can he shape the defense around those type of players that he have. You know, he inherited some of those players, so he didn't get to bring some of those guys in, so he inherited them. So how can I make everybody happy and have fun at the same time? And I think he's done a magnificent job with the Packers.
Well, and one of the guys that it was, at least early in the season, seemed to be reborn in his system was Jair Alexander. And he had a pick six in Tennessee. I know you didn't get to play with him, but you've watched him. You know, it looks like they're going to move on from him. Goody leaving open the possibility, I guess, of him coming back. When you look at him, you see a guy who could still play. I'm curious what you think if you don't have a guy of that talent in your back end. Like, do you view him as a piece they can't live without?
You know what? Alexander is a great player. When he's on the field, that's the type of guy you want on the field. The thing is, how can we keep him on the field?
Right.
And I think that's the decision that the Packers got to, you know, figure out. Do we want to continue to have this great player, but how many games we gonna get out of him, you know? And I think there's no knock on him. It's just, man, it's the nature of the business, right? Mm-hmm. I think for the past 3 years, he probably played 12 games.
Yeah, about half of their games he's played. Yep. Yep.
That's gonna be a tough decision. I think, do you give him to training camp and see what he can do and see that, or are you going ahead and cut ties? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely face a big decision there. All right, before we let you go, again, it's visitmilwaukee.org. You can get tickets. It's Nick Collins. It's Jordy Nelson. It's at the Milwaukee Panthers Arena. Tickets are on sale now. The event is presented by Pottawatomie Sportsbook. All right, before you go, Nick, I made the joke earlier about that 2005 draft because that is the Aaron Rodgers draft. It's not the Nick Collins draft. But
right.
They got a damn good football player in the second round,
Nick
too.
To Nick Collins, it was the Nick Collins draft. I can tell you that.
Absolutely. Coming from a small school, boy, you couldn't tell me not the second round behind Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers, what? No, Nick played a lot earlier than Aaron Rodgers did. I can tell you that.
That's also true. Yes, exactly. So just take us back to...
I can say that, you know, I did start before you did. So
you did?
Yeah, I'll say it for you, Nick. I got no problem saying that.
So take us back as we let you go. Take us back to your draft day. Think back to that day in 2005. What stands out still in your memory 20 years later?
What stands out? My parents and my agent knowing that I was going to get drafted high, and I didn't think I was going to get drafted until sixth or seventh round, right? And they had this big party, surprise party that I didn't know nothing. So I was, you know, young. I was like, I'm going to just hang with a couple of my buddies. We're going to go to the mall, run around looking at some females here and there, you know. You know, just having a regular day. And my mom called and was like, hey, I need you to meet me at this conference room at this hotel. And I was like, Mom, for what? I'm not getting drafted on the first day. So I go over there, and it's 100 plus people in the conference room. They got the table, draft table, and all everything set up. So I was like, I was shocked. But what stands out, the prank call I got before I got drafted, it was like first round, I think Atlanta had the 25th pick or the 26th pick or something like that. And one of my buddies called my phone, but it was from Atlanta. It was like, you might want to pick it up. And he got on the phone like, hey, bud, how draft going? Oh, man, I was like, I to this day, me and him talk about it. Like, I still owe him for that. But I think just to get the call from Green Bay, from Ted Thompson, bless his soul, and tell him that they were thinking about drafting me, I think that part, I went silent. Everybody else was screaming. I was silent because I was in disbelief just to be in that position to have that opportunity.
Well, there were a lot of people that didn't know a lot about the safety from Bethune-Cookman, who could also play corner and was a ridiculous athlete, and Ted Thompson knew, and he could not have been more right about you. And
you know what? It's April Fool's today. I think it's a good day to get your boy back. I don't know what you could do to him, but it's a good day to get him back.
You know what? You're right. I didn't even think that. I think about that today. Yeah. I need to give him a call and be like, come up with something.
Nick, we always
you're
love
up,
it.
Thomas.
Yeah, Tausch is always thinking of ways to get back at people, that's for sure. Nick, we always love having an excuse to talk to you, buddy. We love it when it happens. Thanks so much, and good luck going ahead with your coaching career. Good luck with the big event on the Saturday of the draft, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me, man. Y'all stay blessed.
Nick Collins, one of the all-time good guys that I've gotten to cover. One of your – Tausch, you played with him for – 5 years, right? Six years?
So five, yeah, 5 or 6 years, yeah. He's... right there, I'm telling you right now, you don't. I was just thinking when he was telling that draft story. Everybody always thinks they're going to get drafted higher. How many guys think they're going to get drafted lower?
Right?
His humility, he was never, you know, a super vocal guy. He just was a player. And you loved him as a teammate because he was a great teammate. He wasn't. It wasn't about him. Mm-hmm. It was about the team. Now, I'm sure guys in that room, when, you know, he's talking to Charles about jumping that route, and Charles trying to jump. But that is, that's why he's a great player. He was a great talent. He was underlooked, and you just heard it right there. He has that almost that imposter syndrome that Joe Thomas had.
Yeah,
where it's the same thing. I can't believe I'm here, and that can be a powerful tool when you use it the right way. And man, did he do it!
Yeah, one of the best to ever do it. And as Mike McCarthy, I'll never forget having that conversation with him at the NFL meetings, which are going on right now. But him talking about how Nick Collins was on a Pro Football Hall of Fame track, and he was right about that. And that's the it's also a reminder of the dangers of the game you guys play, and what someone's capable of changing because of injury. We'll talk a little bit more about what Nick had to say. I thought his stuff about this Packers defense was really interesting, and as somebody who watches them every week, he's like the defensive end of Bulaga. Like, we need Bulaga can do the offense every week, and if Nick can find time in his coaching schedule, he can break down the defense for us every week. We'll talk more about
you're not trying to get, if you're not trying to get him five other jobs, and you're a beauty, dude. You are an absolute beauty.
I feel like it's important to kind of lighten the mood and have a little fun and maybe get people irritated a little bit with me. It seems to work.
That's really fun. Hey, you look old and gray. You put on weight.
What's your social security number? More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You still want to see that steady play, that steady improvement, and you didn't get it from Jordan Love?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That just makes the stakes that much higher this season.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait.
LaFleur spent 34 minutes talking with a handful of reporters at the NFC Coaches Breakfast this morning at the Breakers Resort in Palm Beach, Florida. We'll get to that in the 10 o'clock hour. Briefly, Tausch, we'll hear some of the clips again later from Nick Collins. But as I said to him, you know, they spent a long time trying to replace him, but they've also spent a long time trying to find the right defensive coordinator. I am eager. That was not something that LaFleur talked a ton about during the breakfast this morning, but listening to Nick talk about this system, it really does seem like this team could be a defense, run the football, get your tight ends involved, and then your quarterback doesn't have to carry as heavy a load. Does that feel like what their recipe is trending toward, or you seem skeptical?
No, I'm skeptical. I mean, I think the defense can be better. They're going to be taken away. But you don't pay a quarterback $55 million for you to say, well, just don't screw it up. He got to be a dog. And whether or not that's going to be with Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft, which is what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But let's not – what I don't want to do is say, oh, shucks, let's just let little Jordan just go about his business. Jordan needs to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can win games. You ain't beating the big boys in this league if you don't get big-time production from that position. Period. Fin. So I think that narrative needs to be squashed. Jordan Love going to be healthy. Is everything going to be on him? No. But is there a lot? And does he need to be more consistent than what he was last year? Yeah, he does. And he needs to be... I think we could say, well, Josh Jacobs was the best player on offense last year. Jordan Love needs to be the best player on offense this year.
While we were talking to Nick Collins, the NFL owners have tabled the tush-push conversation.
Pushed.
No.
They've pushed it back.
Clever. Yeah, that's very clever. Nice. You're very good. no decision
they've
made on
its future.
They've
pushed it to the rear. They've pushed it to the rear.
All right, don't get greedy.
Of the agenda. Well, what do you mean don't get greedy?
Also tabled and not just denounced, the Lions' proposal to reseed the playoffs. Possibly more discussion of that in May instead of just division winners.
Why not? Sure. Yeah, that's another one. Go ahead and do that, too.
We'll get to the 10 o'clock hour.
Just put everybody in the playoffs. Just put everybody in there. We got to make it fair. So we could get. There should be. What is there? 16. Let's get 14 teams in both sides. Everybody gets a chance. And then give them orange slices after the game.
I know you're being obtuse right now, but could you?
Facetious. I'm being facetious.
Spent a lot of that today.
Facetious. Sure. Could you imagine a 32 team NFL tournament postseason?
How fun would that be?
It would be pretty cool.
Be bad for player safety.
Yes,
though.
I agree. I'm on board.
Who is the worst
team
in the league?
Entertain me. Listen, for me, being selfish now, let's just play this season. Let's go, baby. 18, 20 weeks, and then let's do a March Madness-style bracket. Let's get it all the way up to the end of March Madness.
You get the Titans.
I totally agree, Jesse.
Titans, Lions in the first round, 1 versus 32. See what happens. I love it.
Relegation to the UFL. Yeah. You guys are just over here revolutionizing the league. We need to get to the 10 o'clock hour.
No,
It'll
put
start
them in college. Whoever wins the college championship is the 32 seed the next year. And whoever's last has to go to the SEC.
It just means more there. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.